With summer closing in, I am so ready to ditch my cold weather clothes and say hello to shorts and tees. But I don't want to just buy what's trendy. I want to update timeless, high-quality summer pieces that I can utilize for all seasons and years to come without spending a fortune. And now I've got a lineup of beautiful clothes from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Like premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30. I'm talking about, babe.
There's washable silk tops, 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. It's actually because they partner directly with top factories, so Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. I actually just ordered their linen shorts, tops, and pants that I plan to wear for this summer because they're lightweight, and I'm so excited to get them and start planning my Quince capsule wardrobe for my summer travels. Honestly, I have so much Quince clothing, and I love it all.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/husband for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince. .com/husband to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/husband.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband.
We are so excited to be back after taking last week off. We just want to say thank you to all of the new patrons we got on Patreon. And also our Q&A should be up on Patreon as you are listening to this. So if you want to check it out, it was really, really fun episode for us to record.
It actually was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. And so we're super excited about that. It's on Patreon for any tier level. So if you want to listen, go ahead and check that out. What is your 10 seconds for this week?
So yesterday, actually, Peyton and I went to the, what would you call it? It was like a country store.
They had chickens.
Yes, they had chickens. But we got a bunch of fertilizer and a bunch of stuff for our lawn. It's the first time we've had a lawn since we bought a house recently. And so
we're really nervous, but kind of excited.
Basically, to me, yellow grass means it's dead. But apparently in Utah, it's just completely normal. So now I have to put a bunch of fertilizer as spring's coming and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and we're excited to do that. So our case sources for this week are rain.org, deathpenaltyinfo.org, and an Unsolved Mysteries episode, Volume 2, Episode 3. Our episode this week takes place in Mansfield, Ohio. In 1965, Mansfield was a small, safe town. A young girl named Mary Ellen Diener was your typical young girl. She loved to ride bikes and play with her friends. Her sisters remember her as being giggly and just overall a really good time. Mary Ellen was one of seven children at home. And in their home, each kid was assigned chores and duties. I'm sure that's, I mean, that's pretty usual across the board. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite chore growing up, actually?
My favorite chore?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I had a favorite chore.
Yeah, but you're like the one that like wasn't that bad to do.
Probably clean the windows.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked trimming the grass around the edges of the flower beds because it kind of just reminded me of it being warm weather and summer outside. And so when I think back, like that's the one that I'm like, oh, that was kind of fun to do.
Yeah.
So on the night of November 14th, 1965, Mary Ellen, who was 14 by now, was doing the laundry with her 12-year-old sister, Brenda. The dryer at their home had actually broke, and so Mary Ellen and Brenda were told to make their way via taxi to the laundromat to use the dryer to dry the clothes. So they kind of lived in like a city ish area. And so they were going to go out, get a taxi, drive to a laundromat and use their dryer.
Okay.
Now, before you jump the gun here, this was 1965. Not a lot was known about kidnapping or random murders. It wasn't common knowledge about the danger of children being alone outside.
Stranger danger and all that.
Plus, Mary Ellen's grandmother lived right next to the laundromat that was a couple blocks away that they were going to. So the girls had made this trip many times to their grandma's house. And so going to the laundromat together would be really no different. And also when I was 14, before I could drive, my friends and I would walk around my small town, like all the way across town to get to the zoo, the mall, wherever we wanted to go that day. So I know this like seems weird, but I don't think it's that weird.
Yeah.
Mary Ellen and Brenda made it to the laundromat by grandma's house that night. And as they were loading the clothes into the dryer, they realized that they had run out of coins. So the two girls decided that Brenda would stay with the laundry at this laundromat while Mary Ellen would go find somewhere else to get more change, like go to a different business to try to see if they had change because this laundromat was out.
So basically, let me just recap real quick. Yeah. So they need to do laundry. They get in a taxi, take the taxi over to go do laundry.
Yep.
The laundromat is right by grandma's house.
Yes.
They run out of coins. Okay.
And Mary Ellen is deciding to go. Mary Ellen's 14, Brenda's 12.
Got it. Thank you.
So Mary Ellen knew that there was actually another laundromat about a 5-minute walk away from this one that they were at. And so she decided that that's where she's going to go to see if they had some change. Like, it's a laundromat. They have to have change, right? So Brenda sat at the laundromat that they were using to dry their clothes and waited and waited and waited for Mary Ellen to get back with the change. She sat there alone waiting for her older 14-year-old sister to come back so they could finish their laundry. But Mary Ellen never returned with that change.
Oh, man.
Brenda ran next door to their grandma's house and let her know, you know, Mary Ellen went to go to the other laundromat to find change so we could finish our laundry, but she hasn't come back yet. The sister's grandma told Brenda to stay put at her house and that she would walk to the laundromat that Mary Ellen was walking to that night and see if she could find her. As Mary Ellen's grandma was making the walk, she looked up and noticed some police cars and people gathered around up the road a little bit. As she got closer, she realized the police were blocking off an area where it looked like someone was laying on the ground. As grandma inched closer, she realized what she was looking at. The police were blocking off the area from the public because 14-year-old Mary Ellen was the person laying on the ground and she was dead.
How far away from the laundromat was she?
It's only a 5-minute walk to the other laundromat. So not far.
Very far.
Mary Ellen had been shot twice in her chest. Yes. In her chest and stomach area. And no one had seen what happened that was around.
Weird. I mean, it was nighttime.
It was nighttime. But still, I mean, it's 1965. It's a safer city.
I'm sure there's other people out.
Mm-hmm. So as police began the investigation, they immediately determined what type of gun Mary Ellen had been shot with, and they went around to the local gun stores in Mansfield to see the records, you know, who had bought this gun. When they got to the Diamond Hardware store that sold guns on South Diamond Street, they asked to see the books for the records of who had bought what. They noticed that a man named Lester E. Eubanks had bought a weapon that fit the gun they were looking for. Police began asking around about 22-year-old Lester, and they came across a local informant who told them that he had actually seen Lester around the area where Mary Ellen had been shot that night. So a local informant tells police, I know you're looking for this guy because of the record you saw that he had bought this gun, and I actually did see him around the area where Mary had been shot that night.
Kind of confused because shot, right? She wasn't kidnapped. Usually people don't just go up and kill 14-year-old
girls. And he's 22, right?
It just doesn't make it really weird.
Yeah. So Mary Ellen's family actually knew of Lester Eubanks, this guy, the suspect. They had seen him walking around the streets before. Like I said, it's a smaller city. He seemed kind of weird to them. He was never with friends. He would just walk up and down the streets alone. Mary Ellen's sister actually says that Lester used to walk up and down the street with nunchucks. And he would just swing them around as he walked, like using them but not on anybody, and just walk up and down the streets. And people were kind of like, that's a little weird. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. So, I speak a little bit of Spanish. Okay, that's not true. I speak Spanish fluently for the most part. And Peyton has always wanted to learn a language, so she's actually started using Babbel, and she's going to use it the next time we go to Mexico, and I'm really excited to see how her Spanish is.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/husband. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/husband, spelled BABBEL.com/husband. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're jumping into an ad right now, and I, no joke, I've had this question I think about all the time because I hate getting sick. Do you ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? One of the reasons you can help yourself from getting sick is Armra colostrum.
Okay, obviously I had no idea that colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. So what's amazing is Armra colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and actually make you sick.
I'm not saying that it 100% works for everybody, because obviously you never know, but all I'm saying is I haven't been sick since I started taking it.
Well, and the science behind it is so cool. Armra colostrum strengthens all four layers of your gut wall, where 80% of your immune cells are housed, and it's a rich, exclusive source of antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season.
Plus, in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/husband or enter husband to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's tryarmra.com/husband.
Okay, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I have definitely learned as I've gotten older that fast fashion is just not it. High quality, versatile items that will last a lifetime are the only way to go. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry.
The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I have their silk skirt. It's washable. It's literally one of my favorites, and I wear it all the time. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/husband for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/husband to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/husband.
Lester had grown up in Mansfield, Ohio, and despite what Mary Ellen's family had said, he actually had some friends, and he did seem to be liked by those around him. But Lester did have a record. He was arrested twice in the past for sexual assault on a minor. And at the time of Mary Ellen's murder, Lester Eubanks was out on a $5,000 bond for attempted rape.
Wow. There always seems to be a record,
I feel like. Yes, it's kind of infuriating because on the one hand, I believe in the process of reform in prison and whatever and the chance to get better. But like, I think it's pretty apparent that this guy had no interest in getting better because he already had 2 sexual assault charges and now he's out on bail for attempted rape.
Yeah.
He obviously wasn't learning anything in prison about getting better, right?
But that's why I'm still confused. I'm curious where this goes because he just shot her.
Yeah, there was no sexual assault.
He just shot her. Mm-hmm.
So according to Rain.org, out of every 1,000 people suspected of rape, 520 of them will be released on bail. And while awaiting trial and released on bail, 70 of those will be rearrested during that time for committing another crime.
Wow. Okay.
And more than 60% of prisoners released from prison after serving time for a sexual crime will commit another sexual crime within the next 5 years.
Got it.
Over 60%. Mm-hmm. That's over half of those will reoffend. Police ended up bringing Lester Eubanks into the station to interrogate him on his involvement in Mary Ellen's death. And during this interview, Lester just flat out confessed to killing Mary Ellen the night of November 14th, 1965.
Whoa.
Yeah, so they like didn't even have to press really hard. He tells police that that night he was just hanging in the area. His apartment was nearby when he notices Mary Ellen walking up the street. And he said this was his opportunity. As Mary Ellen walked past him on the sidewalk, he grabbed her from behind and pulled her behind a house on the side of the street. Lester says that Mary Ellen started to scream, and so he put his hand over her mouth to muffle her. He pulled out his gun and pulled the trigger twice.
What?
Because she was screaming. So he couldn't get her under control, and so he, I mean, I don't know if panicked is the right word, but just shot her.
Oh, so he was planning on...
Sexually assaulting her.
Got it.
Lester then left the area after he shot her, leaving Mary Ellen on the ground behind that house. And he went back to his apartment, got dressed, and left to go downtown to go dancing for the night. Keep in mind, it's 1965.
What? And what a psycho.
Psycho.
Completely psycho.
So 45 minutes later, he's done getting ready and he leaves his house. And on his way downtown to go dancing, Lester actually went back to the scene of the crime where he had shot Mary Ellen. And when he walked back behind the house, Mary Ellen was still alive. After being shot twice. She was laying on the ground, moaning in pain.
Do you know where she was shot at?
In the chest and like stomach area.
Okay.
Lester is a complete monster. This part is bad, but he picked up a brick that was laying in an alley and walked back over to where Mary Ellen was laying on the ground needing help. And he killed her with the brick.
Complete monster.
So he had a chance. Like, she was alive. He had a chance to be better and be like, I'll just call the cops and leave. He got
dressed and went dancing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's insane to me. Just
a monster. So after the confession, detectives visited Mary Ellen's family to let them know, you know, that they had caught her killer. And obviously, it crushed her family's world. Like, it's a horrible, horrible, horrible way to die. It's your 14-year-old daughter. Like, it's just horrible. In May of 1966, at the Richland County Courthouse, Lester Eubanks' trial started. He testified at his own trial, which, as we know, is kind of a telltale sign of a narcissist. Mm-hmm. It said that there was no remorse shown, and he was sent to death row by a jury of his peers. Lester Eubanks was sent to the Ohio State Penitentiary, where he would wait for his execution. This was located in Columbus, Ohio. Inmates at the prison who served at the same time he did say that Lester was a loner in prison. He was on, you know, he was a death row inmate, which means you're separated from everyone else. And he was also in there for murdering a 14-year-old girl,
yeah,
which everyone knew. And so, like, everyone hated him. But in return, as a defense mechanism, he was cocky, he had an attitude, and he was threatening towards people back. So he didn't have any friends in prison while he was on death row. And he spent a lot of time painting and writing during his, you know, while waiting. Uh-huh. In the 60s and 70s, death row inmates were allowed to cultivate talents, to read, to write. So that's kind of how he was able to do that while in prison. And I know that it seems like we just, you know, put a nice bow on this case. The murderer was found fast. He was sentenced to death. But this is actually where this case takes a turn. And what? It's about to blow your mind.
Okay. I thought you were going to end it right there.
Yeah. So
I
was like,
yes, I get to go early. Oh.
So Lester's death sentence was pushed back for unknown reasons three times. And then in 1972, the death penalty was actually abolished by the United States Supreme Court. So anyone on death row sentence was set aside and reverted to a life sentence.
Okay.
If you are listening from outside of the United States, I did a little bit of research on this, and I'm going to try to explain it to you the best way I can. So just know that when European settlers came to the United States, they brought the practice of capital punishment according to deathpenaltyinfo.org. The first recorded legal execution in the United States was in 1608 in Virginia. After that, as the United States became, you know, more established, individual states began abolishing and reinstating the death penalty from time to time. It kind of just depended on who was governing the state at what time. In 1972, the landmark case of Furman versus Georgia suspended the death penalty for everyone, which is where we are at in the story, which is why he then got pushed to a life sentence.
Okay.
In 1977, so like 5 years later, after much fighting and rewriting, the death penalty came back into play in America after some boundaries and rules were set by the government. So basically it was abolished because people were like, it's inhumane. And then after, you know, maybe changing the ways we put people to death and stuff like that, they said, okay, it can come back, but it is up to the states.
All right, you guys, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I don't know about you, but when I've been hanging out a lot, going out with friends, dinners, maybe my social battery completely drains and I need to take a few days to have a breather. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm a huge believer in therapy. And even if you're like, I just don't feel like I have much to talk about. I don't feel like I have all this trauma. You don't realize how much your body holds on to with stress and just unhappy emotions. It holds on to it. So it's nice to let it out and get it out. Keep your life in order. And that is something therapy can do for you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband. All right, we're jumping into an ad real quick. This is Shopify. I personally love Shopify. I've been using it for 7-8 years now since I've met Peyton. I've been using it for so long. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
Whether you're selling sleuthing supplies or marketing mystery merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because business that grow, grow with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/husband, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/husband now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/husband, shopify.com/husband. Okay, if you're like me, you probably care about eating healthy. I feel like we've all tried a million different ways to do that, but
McDonald's. Nah, just kidding.
But honestly, it became a no-brainer when I got my first Hungry Root delivery. And I have to tell you, I ordered Hungry Root.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then a week later, they reached out wanting to be a sponsor of the show. And I was like, good to go, because I already and ordered Hungry Root.
We seriously loved it. Before we were even sponsored and Peyton ordered it just because she wanted to try it, it was so cool. Like, it came in this box. There's all these different foods and they're healthy. They're good for you. There's snacks, stuff to make dinner recipes. It was amazing. The very first night we got it, we made our dinner and we both loved it.
Well, and it's really easy. You actually just take a short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations. So honestly, I can just go and pick a recipe, boom, puts all of it in my cart. It's crazy.
Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's gotta taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients.
So right now, Hungry Root is offering Murder With My Husband listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/husband to get 40% off your first delivery and your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/husband. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
So what happened then? Was everyone that was on death row before, but then got put on life in prison, did they get switched back to
reverted
death row
back?
If their state allowed it? Do you know?
Yes, if their state allowed it. So at that point, it was just, here's the boundaries and guidelines that the government of USA has made. And if you follow these, you can use capital punishment. So as we know, some states now have the death penalty and some don't.
Got it, yep.
Some have it and don't enforce it. Some enforce it heavily. It kind of just depends on what state you live in right now. So needless to say, when Lester's sentence was suspended and made to just life in prison, Mary Ellen's family was hurt and confused. And because of the abolishment, Lester was put into general population because he was no longer a death row inmate. So he no longer had to be separated. And when he was moved over, Lester began trying his hardest to make friends. Kind of like it seems he did on the outside with those close to him. Not a lot, but those who rode with him died with him. Lester was allowed to enter an honor program type thing at this point. He's no longer a death row inmate. With everything going on regarding the death penalty at this time in America, the idea of prison systems and reform was being explored and debated heavily. And so the Ohio State Penitentiary started this honor program to try and help inmates prepare for life outside of prison, right? Like, we're here to make them change, to help them change. So we're going to prepare them for what life is going to be like when they get out of prison.
But he has life in prison.
Yes, for murdering a 14-year-old girl.
So he shouldn't get out.
So they say that, yes, he shouldn't get out. He shouldn't get out. And I don't think he can't even get parole. But he's eligible for this honor program. And I guess
how would he be eligible for it if he has life in prison?
Because the honor program doesn't mean you're getting out. It just gives you opportunities to...
If you do get
further
out?
Be a human. Does that make sense? Yes.
Okay, got it.
But he's not going to get out. But he also kind of schmoozed the guards a little bit, or like the people who decided this. Like, I guess he was just kind of wiggling his way into things because normally people like him wouldn't have gotten the honor program, but he did.
Okay.
A component of this honor program was the opportunity for certain participants to leave the prison at times. Like, you know, you've heard of work release.
Oh, no.
So they could drive trucks from prison to prison. They could run errands for the prison, preparing them to get out. Essentially, they were rewarding prisoners for good behavior, hoping to encourage them to reform and tranquility through the prison. Like, if we reward good behavior, people might behave better in prison. Lester used this honor program to take the art that he had actually been making while in prison, and supposedly he was very talented, and he started entering it into art shows. So guards would escort him as he attended these art shows out of prison, and he actually won He actually won some awards during this time. He never had to admit at these art shows that he was a murderer or a serial sex offender. Most people at these shows had no idea who he was. He was in regular clothes. And he would win. So on December 7th, 1973, 8 years after Mary Ellen's murder, Lester Eubanks, along with some other good behavior prisoners, were loaded up on a bus and taken to go Christmas shopping. They used money that they earned, they were given street clothes, and they were told to buy Christmas presents for their loved ones that they could, you know, hand out during visitation.
Do you know if the guards went with them?
So guards were with them, but the group of prisoners kind of split up as different inmates wanted different things, so they went to different stores, but the guards were, like, walking around with them.
Yeah.
They all, everyone, prisoners and guards, just had to meet back up at 2 p.m. at the bus. And keep in mind, this was very common behavior and practice at this time with this specific prison. 2 p.m. came and 2 p.m. went, and Lester Eubanks was the only prisoner to not return to the bus.
I could have told you that one.
It seems as if he had slipped away from guards, unbeknownst to them, and who knows where he had gone by now. Lester Eubanks quite literally strolled away from the death penalty.
Because he had regular clothes on.
Yep.
So no one would have known.
No one would have known. He had money because he was there to buy Christmas presents for...
Yep.
So Mary Ellen's family gets the call that their daughter's death row murderer had escaped from prison. Detectives begin searching, the news is all over, and they discover that they think Lester had planned this solely because all of his visitors, which he had had a lot of visitors, suspiciously stopped visiting him after he escaped, but before the news had broken. So they had come,
oh, that's like, weird,
visiting him every week for years, and then all of a sudden, all of them stopped, so as if they knew he was no longer going to be there. Everyone in Lester's life was talked to, but no one gave up any information.
I can't believe he escaped. Like, that, imagine getting that call. You would think, oh, he's going to come kill us now.
Yeah. Well, and even, like, how does he escape? How did this happen? How did he get away from guards? How was he given street clothes? How was he given money? Like, how did he literally walk out of prison?
It's, I mean, it seems...
As it seems someone who had been on death row.
If you're... I don't know. Not that it's easy, but it seems easier if you're just out in the open in regular clothes and, you know.
And that's kind of where the frustration and actually a lot of change, as you can imagine. They didn't allow this to happen again. There was no going out in street clothes after this incident. But it's like... Dang, how did this happen?
Which I'm sure the other inmates were really upset.
Yeah, like, because everything why didn't
was
we think
going,
of this?
Well, everything was going well until
they were giving freedoms. They were giving a chance to be better, to not just stick to that prison life,
and
you
know?
And
then he ruined it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A federal arrest warrant was sent out, which means that he could get caught in any state and arrested, right? Like, if he were to get pulled over in Nebraska, it would be flagged like, hey, there's a federal arrest warrant for this guy. Like, he escaped from prison and he was on death row, right? So despite the efforts, police get nowhere. Lester Eubanks is gone in the wind. In December of 1993, 20 years after the escape. So we're in the 90s now.
Okay. So he's 45-ish, somewhere around there?
He's been gone. He's been living life. A local Mansfield sheriff searches Lester's name. He's wondering if anything had been found in the last 20 years. He's like, this guy brutally murdered this girl and is gone and nothing's been done about it. And so when he searches his name, he discovers that there are no warrants listed under Lester's name. They had been removed somehow. So this literally means if Lester had been pulled over in California on a basic speeding charge, nothing would alert the officer that had pulled him over that, you know, this guy escaped prison after being on death row in the 60s.
That's so strange. How did that get removed?
No idea. Just an error in the system.
Huh.
So Lester Eubanks was not being looked for by anyone. Obviously, local Mansfield police began investigating and sent the case into America's Most Wanted. The night the episode aired, a lady called in and informed police that she had hung out with this Lester man back in the late 70s in L.A.
No way.
In L.A. Okay. So he had made his way to California somehow. And that at that time, Lester was living with his cousin's widow, who was named Kay. Detectives obviously go and visit Kay in 1994, 21 years after Lester had escaped. She was scared. She wanted to cooperate because she had, in fact, harbored a fugitive back then. And so she was originally from Ohio. She had married Lester's cousin, but after Lester's cousin had gotten shot and killed, she had moved out to California. And she had actually written Lester while he was in prison. There was even a photo of her up in Lester's cell during his time in prison. Kay says that after Lester had escaped that day, leaving the mall, he had safely made his way up to Michigan to hide out and see if his trail would be caught and followed. So he booked it to Michigan and then bunkered down, waiting to see if they would catch on to where he'd gone or anything. He was actually painting houses at that time to earn money, but eventually took a bus to California 3 weeks after he escaped that day. So now it's December of 1973, and he's on the bus to California, and the bus was actually pulled over by police looking for illegal fruit, and they made eye contact with him and everything. And he was a three-week newly escaped prisoner.
It's also hard because the U.S. is so big and there's so many different counties with different police officers.
But
and
the police obviously weren't looking for him at that point. I mean, police were, but not those specific police. So Kay says that Lester randomly out of the blue showed up at her door in L.A. under the name of Victor Young. He had acquired a hunting license under that name and was opting to use that as an ID as often as he could. So he'd go in somewhere and they'd be like, can I see your ID? And he'd be like, oh, I forgot it, but here's my hunting license and see if he could get away with it. Kay didn't like Lester once he lived with her. He was a bully. And so she told him one day, she's like, I got to get this guy out of my house. She told him, I got a call from the FBI asking about you. And so he took off and she never saw him again. Kay tells police that Lester had worked as a mattress manufacturer while living with her, and she thinks he worked as that until the mid-80s. And that was really the last place that they could trace him.
Oh, so it's been a while.
Yeah. Okay. So in Ohio, back in Ohio, in 2003, police were like, we got to reopen this. We got to find this guy. Like, he's a fugitive. This is insane. And they tried to talk to Lester's father, but he wouldn't cooperate. But they left the conversation with the understanding that Lester's father, in 2003 at least, knew exactly where Lester was, but wasn't going to say anything. Police subpoenaed Lester's dad's phone records and found that he consistently called a place in Alabama. And so they go there and they find out that the place he was calling actually had an ID-less, so like no ID, person who was working as a janitor for them. And so police went down to check it out, but the employee had actually left a couple months earlier and there was no record of him. But this was where his dad had been calling for months.
This is 2003, correct?
Yes, yes.
So now, I'm just thinking now, he'd be like mid-70s,
mm-hmm.
is my guess. Yeah. Okay.
So
not in 2003.
No, now. And that's really where the trail went cold until 2018.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
This is a couple years ago.
Yes.
So he's older at this point.
Yes, like, yeah. When Lester was actually put on the FBI top 15 most wanted in America.
Really?
Yes.
Why though? I mean, I know what he did was horrible, but I feel like, and I could be wrong, I don't know much about that list.
There's other fugitives out there.
I would assume, wouldn't that list be for people who've like killed multiple people, serial killers, or no?
Yes, but I think the fact that he escaped from prison has a lot to do with it.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's like, obviously we all wanted to find who the Golden State Killer was, but we hadn't arrested him. We didn't know who his identity was. Like, we know Lester's identity. We know what he did. We know where he was after he escaped. We know where he was in 2003. You know what I'm saying?
Got it, yep.
So I think that has like a lot to do with it. You're not chasing a breadcrumb. You have the guy. You just need to find him. And Lester Eubanks needs to be captured. Mary Ellen's family wants him captured. I'm posting pictures, age progression and everything. We need to get his profile out there. He's a black male who has a scar on his right arm that wraps all the way around. And supposedly, if you see it, you'll know. Like, it's pretty big.
Oh, he's never been caught?
No. Trail went cold, babe. We're in 2018 and that's all we know. He's still out there.
Oh, so there's no update.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he's still young enough that he could easily be living out there in the middle of everyone that's listening right now, and we have no idea.
But he's young enough, but he's got to be, what, 76 or so?
Well, like,
he's getting older.
He was 22 in 1965. He was a talented painter, and police feel like he's probably still doing that today, that he might have relied on that. And there is actually a $25,000 reward for any information that leads to the arrest of Lester Eubanks.
Do you think he killed anyone else, or do you think he's just trying to chill?
I feel like because of how many times he reoffended while getting caught and while being in prison, there's a high chance that he reoffended afterwards.
Think so?
Yeah, because I mean, he had two charges for sexual assault and then was out on bail for rape and killed a 14-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel like that's a very good path for someone who's just going to all of a sudden change. But he's old. I understand that he's old, but also so was the Golden State Killer.
Yeah,
and he got caught.
He felt like he had no remorse when he got caught.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, they say Lester didn't have any remorse when he went to trial.
Yeah.
So I don't want the age to deter you. Just know that, like, these guys can still, you know, these families can still get justice. Mm-hmm. If you have any information regarding the whereabouts of Lester Eubanks, contact the U.S. Marshals at 8666-4 Wanted. That's 86664 Wanted. WANTED. Or go to unsolved.com.
Can't believe he's still out there. I thought for sure this would end with, oh, and they caught him and now he's in prison for life.
That's the case of Mary Ellen and the escaped prisoner, Lester Eubanks.
That's crazy.
That is probably still out there walking among us.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Do they have any idea where he might be?
Not since that 2003 where he was in Alabama.
Okay.
Obviously, he cut off contact with his father after police looked into his father and subpoenaed his phone records and everything.
Oh, okay.
And his father says, when they ask him, like, do you think he should be escaped? And he says, I think everyone can go on and start a new life, and I pray for Lester every day. So he's very aware that Lester is out there living a life, and he doesn't want to give his son up.
Yeah.
We just want to say thank you to all of our listeners. We love you guys so much. I know we sound like a broken record always saying that every week, but it's seriously true, and that's why I feel like I need to say it. If you are watching on YouTube, please subscribe, leave a comment, and also turn on notifications. And if you are listening on podcasts, if you are able, please leave us a review. It helps us out so much. And we love you guys, and we will see you next week for another episode. I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.